Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
How many of you, no, I won't ask that question. For those of you that weren't there last night, okay, here's a 2-minute summary. The message this morning is part two. Last night was obviously part one, because one often comes before two. And so last night was part one, today is part two. And what we're talking about is, are you a builder or are you a holidaymaker? Okay, that's the kind of message that I believe God wants to speak to you guys and what he's doing with us in Horsham at the moment. Are you a builder or are you a holidaymaker? And we started off just by looking in Genesis in chapter 1 and trying to briefly look at, well, how does God see the church? God doesn't see the church as a structure or as a form in that way. He sees his body as something that carries his life, okay? And so what God wants to do is express his life on earth through you and me, the body of Christ, okay? He's the head, we're the body, and we express the life of who he is in the world. And there was a number of words in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 that we looked at. When God created male and female, he then blessed them, because that's God's purpose for you, to be blessed and to be a blessing. He then said, be fruitful, increase. He then said to rule and to reign, to fill the earth, okay? And so if we're made in God's image, then we're like him. You have his life, his DNA. You have his Holy Spirit in you. How many of you know that God is blessed? He must be, because he's God. So if he is in you, then your DNA is to be blessed. How many of you know that God is fruitful? So if God is fruitful, his purpose is for you to be fruitful. If God is on the increase, because if he spoke creation into being and his word is alive and his word is eternal, then that same word of creation is still going on today. God didn't just create what we know as the universe and that was a finished kind of thing and now we're all within that. The universe is constantly expanding all the time. Why? Because his word set it in motion. Therefore, the universe is still being created now. There are planets, there are stars, there are things out there, not living beings, but there are planets and stars out there that are still being created today, but we haven't got the technology to see it because it's too many trillions of light years away, but God is still creating because the same word that created the heavens and the earth is still being outworked today because his word is alive, it's living, it's eternal. So if he is on the increase, then you are on the increase because that's what God's purpose is for you and me. Then it talks about filling the earth, multiplication, what is in you, multiplying out into others. What it was also saying it was about us ruling and reigning. If God wants to bring his kingdom on earth, which he has already through Jesus, he's then given us the responsibility to extend that kingdom all over the place. You have the kingdom within you and the kingdom grows up within you as you understand and move in the things of God. But God's kingdom is not extended in you, it grows in you. But his kingdom can be extended through you. So Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is not over there or over here, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And so for God's kingdom to be extended, it means that God wants to come into people's lives that don't know him yet so that his kingdom is extended. All right? That's how God extends his kingdom. If his kingdom is forcefully advancing, who lays hold of it? Forceful people. What does it mean? People of faith lay hold of a kingdom of faith. Because God's kingdom is moving and advancing forcefully. So we as people of faith take hold of that. Not just in our own lives, but so that others can then come into that kingdom so that God's kingdom is extended. All right, that's how it expands. So we were looking at some of that last night, but one of the undergirding things we were talking about, this is a 2-minute, even though it's gone on for 6 so far. This is a 2-minute summary of last night. Because if you don't understand this, today won't make sense, okay? One of the things we're saying, I asked everybody is, what word are you living with and what word are you living by? God will always work with his word. That he will not work with anything else. He will not work with your emotions. He will not work with your will. He will not work with your mind. He works according to his word. Okay? So God will always speak his word, something to you that you are living with. So my question to everybody last night who was there was, what word are you living with? What is it that God has said to you? What are you living with? What's buzzing on the inside of you? What is alive on the inside of you? What scripture? What passage? What theme? What is it that God is saying to you at this moment? What are you living with? And therefore, what are you living by? Because if you're living with the word, that helps to determine the choices you make, the decisions you make, the things that you do every day, because you're living not just with a word, but by a word, according to a word. So if God's going to be working in your life and my life, if he only works according to his word, then you've got to have something from God that he's working with in you. Is that, do you understand that? It's pretty simple. So God wants, if there's not a word you're living with at the moment and you're like, well, I don't know, just spend a bit of time with God, because God will want to speak right. He's not going to make it difficult. He doesn't want to make it hard. He wants to speak to you and give you a word, something you're living with, something that's gone off on the inside of you, or come alive on the inside of you. Say, wow, God, you're showing me this. You're speaking to me about that. You're living with something. And if you're living with something like that, that releases faith on the inside of you. If you're not living with a word, the enemy can have a field day in your life. He comes along and circumstances overwhelm you, things that other people say overwhelm you. But if you're living with a word, and this is kind of, all right, this is still to do with last night, so it's a 2-minute summary in 12 minutes now, all right? If you are living with a word, what have you got? Your shield of faith up, and also the sword of the spirit up, so that when circumstances say something else, you say, well, hang on a minute, this is what God's saying to me. And then I'm dealing with it because I've got something in my hand, spiritually, the sword of the spirit, saying, well, I'm appropriating this word over my life so I can deal with the circumstances. I can overcome some opposition. I can believe something different than everybody seems to be saying to me, because I'm living with a word. So you got to be living with something. If you're not living with something, then it's going to be tough. Because the enemy wants to take you out, take me out, take the lot of us out. If you're living with a word, he's got a much more difficult job. Because there's a thing called the shield of faith that is in his way that stops him from knocking you off your stride, because you're living with a word. You're using the word. And he cuts him down before he can get to there, or to your emotions, or, oh, I don't feel very good today, and all of that. It's like, well, hang on a minute. I'm living with something that is more powerful than that emotion. I'm living with something that's more powerful than that circumstance, okay? So what are you living with, and what are you living by? Okay? So now we can go on to part two this morning. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 29, and we're going to just start there. While you're turning there, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. This is before Eve was formed out of his rib, and before the animals were made. And God put Adam in the garden, put him in a context, and he said to him, I want you to work it and take care of it. So he put him in the land, in the garden. He said, I want you to take care of it, and I want you to work it and take care of it. Then after that, he formed all the animals, and then still there was no suitable helper. So he took Adam, one of his ribs, and formed Eve, and there was male and there was female. And then that's when God said, he blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful. He said, increase. He said, fill the earth. This is God's thinking. This is God's heart. This is God's will. This is God's purpose. It wasn't just to Adam and Eve, it's to you and to me. And he says to you this morning, he says to all of us this morning, personally and corporately, as a church, as a body of people, he says, I bless you, increase, be fruitful, fill the earth, multiply, take the life that I have. But he also says, work it and take care of it. But he says that before, he says, be blessed, increase, and be fruitful. Why are you saved? You are saved first and foremost to work for the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's why you're saved. The first thing he did, he said to Adam, was not, I bless you, increase and be fruitful. The first thing he said when he put him in the garden, when he put him in the context of where he was going to live, the first thing he said to him was, work it and take care of it. Wow. And as you do that, you're going to live in blessing, you're going to be fruitful, you will increase, you will fill the earth, you will fill all the space that I've given you, and you will rule and reign. But you've got to work and take care of it. That's why you're saved, to work for the kingdom of heaven on earth. and take care of everything that God does. See, Matthew 28, 18 to 20 is the Great Commission about making disciples of all nations. That's the work. That's what we take care of, people. He took care of some ground. We're taking care of people. See, God's work is to what? Believe. Believe in the one that sent Jesus. All right? So the work of God is to believe. But it's to do with people. So let's get into our message this morning. Otherwise we'll sort of repeat last night too many times. Question is, do you want to be a builder or do you want to be a holidaymaker? How many of you like going on holiday? Everybody in the room. We Thursday and Friday, we spent 2 days down in Devon with some friends of ours and in Seaton. And great, had a holiday, couple of days chilling out, didn't do a lot, you know, in terms of just walked in the sunshine, messed about with Megan down on the beach and went to one of these, what's the place in Plymouth called? The aquarium place, the big thing in the port there, you know, and just had a couple of days of chilling out. And for me, it was brilliant. 2 days of no decision making, no meetings, no responsibility except to make sure that my wife and daughter have a couple of great days. But it was just great. You know, didn't have to get up at the crack of dawn. Just got up about an hour later than usual. And, you know, there was no schedule for the day. It was kind of like, well, what should we do today? Oh, let's go for a walk. What should we do now? I don't know. What would you like to do? Oh, okay, let's go and do that. Great. Just do what you like whenever you like. It's a holiday. Now, can we live like that all of the time? Why not? How many of you would like to live like that all the time? Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. No responsibility. You can just spend whatever you like when you like because you're on holiday. Let's get into the message, shall we? And because this is important this morning, not just as a message, as a kingdom thing, and yeah, hallelujah, that was great. But this is important for you as a church. What we're going to talk about this morning, because how you think and what is in your heart will determine whether you're a builder or a holiday maker. And it's not one of those messages this morning where it's not a feel good message. Is that okay? So sorry if I'm going to burst your bubble this morning. This isn't one of these feel good messages where you're all going to walk out on air after the meeting and think, God just so loves me. He's brilliant. Oh, it doesn't matter how I live. He still loves me anyway. I'm not into preaching that sort of thing because it's not true. No matter what you do, God loves you anyway. That's not a biblical message. But we won't go there either. But this is one of these kind of just take a check of your thinking, of your heart and what you're doing and all of that kind of thing. All right. So you, as we go through some of these things, you'll be able to decide for yourself, okay, in that area, I'm a builder. In that area, I'm a holiday maker. In terms of your thinking and your attitude. And what we want to do is we want to line up ourselves and say, right, God has called me to be a builder. God has called me to be fruitful. God has called me to increase. God has purposed me to be a worker and to take care of it and to fill the earth and to see things happen in my own life, but in other people's lives. Is that okay? So let's have a look at Jeremiah 29 and these great few verses here. We went through a few other verses last night. Some of the things that God speaks over our lives because we want to work with the word, okay? God speaks his word into your life so that you've got something to live by and to work with, okay, in your life. So let's have a look. Verse 5 onwards. This is important in terms of building. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it because if it prospers, you too will prosper. What a great few verses. There's a challenge straight away in these few verses. Build houses and settle down. God wants to plant you somewhere. Now, I'm presuming if you are here that you might be visiting today, brilliant. Okay, you might be from another area or you might be just checking out the church. Well, what is this lot about and what are they, you know? But for most of you, you're part of this church. And so God has planted you, or has planted you already, in this ground. See, God doesn't just see the church as a form and a structure. He sees that this body of people as a certain type of ground. And the ground is determined by what you do with it, what you put into it, how you prepare it. It's not just to do with the seed that you put in the ground. It is also to do with the ground itself. And so this church, with the teaching and everything you get, you've got good ground here to be planted in. But what the word is saying here is basically get planted, build houses and settle down. Take root somewhere. One of the scriptures we looked at last night in Psalm 144, and we're praying over our own children and our young people, it says that your young men in their youth will be well-nurtured plants. Now that all sounds nice. We're not a bunch of lads that look like it, you know. But, you know, well-nurtured plants are those that are deep-rooted, those that are in good ground, those that are drawing from the ground themselves. They're not dependent on somebody else growing them for them. They're drawing on things. So we're praying over our own kids and our young people that they'll be deeply rooted, that they draw on the things of God. They grow in the things of God. They become solid in the purpose and the things of God themselves. They're like well-nurtured plants in their youth. Not just when they're older, but now in their youth. It's like, if that's what the word says, then we can have it now, today. So it's like God said, here's a word for you now, work with that word, pray it into being, speak it into being, work with your young people, invest in them, speak into their lives, encourage them, strengthen them. You got something to work with, right? So it says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. How many of you last time remember Jane came up and shared something about the end of our garden, we turned it into a vegetable thing? Well, it's kind of just taking off, isn't it? It's like she's Mrs. Greenfingers now. And do you want to say anything or not?
No, you can't.
All right. A couple of months ago, it was still just total earth and a big kind of area or two areas of earth that had been manured and turned over and got ready for stuff. And Jane looked out there one day and said, God, what am I going to do with it? It's just a whole load of earth there, you know. And with a bit of help from one or two people and Jane reading some stuff, we've planted strawberries, raspberries, runner beans, broccoli, spinach, carrots, peas, potatoes, salad stuff, tomatoes, cucumber. Any more? It sounds like a generation game, doesn't it? Trying to remember what was going on the conveyor belt. Spring onions, chilies. Chilies, I don't know what they're going to be like. But, you know, all this stuff, but it's all growing now. It's all coming out of the ground. We've had our first strawberries the other day, and they were like, they were nice, weren't they? We've had various bits. But it's all, suddenly, in the last few weeks, it's just all going, coming out the ground. But the interesting thing is, you don't water the plants, you water the ground. You don't just spray water over the leaves. You actually put the water into the ground so that the water soaks into the earth so that the plant has the stuff to draw from. If you just water the leaves, if it's sunny, apparently they can get burnt, get a bit of sunburn. But you water the ground that the plant is in. What's the ground in the Bible? Heart. What did Jesus do when he came? He addressed the issue of the heart. I mean, if you look at Matthew 6, 7 and 8, all the teaching he did in those few chapters there, it all addresses the heart. See, that's the ground of your life. That's the fountain of life. That's where everything grows from, your heart. Okay? So that's what we're looking at today, our hearts. Are we builders or are we holiday makers? Let's just have a quick look, okay? So we've been planting all this stuff. It's been growing. But our attitude for us is we're there long term. Where we are now, we're there long term. We used to be part of a ministry years ago down near Swindon, in a place called Malmesbury. And we knew we might not be there for the rest of our lives, but what God said to us is you've got to live like you're here for the rest of your lives. Yeah. And so we had an attitude like, right, we're here. If this means we're part of this thing until we die, then that's it. We're just going to give ourselves fully to where we are. See, that's a builder mentality. I'm here for the long haul. I'm here. If I'm here for the rest of my life, then brilliant. If we had a holiday mentality, we'd be saying, well, we'll just see it while it suits us and while we'll have a good time. And if it gets tough, then we'll leave and go somewhere else. See, that's a holiday maker's mentality. I don't like it here. Let's go and find somewhere else. A builder's mentality is I'm here for the long haul. And even though there might be storms, there might be difficulties, there might be challenges, because I believe in the ground that I'm planted in, I'm going to stay here for the long haul, because there's something that God is doing that's going to, it might take a generation of time, because it talks about marry off your sons and your daughters, and then so that then your grandchildren get married off. What is it talking about? It's talking about generations of being planted and seeing God's kingdom growing and developing and being extended. Okay? So you want to be planted in where God wants you. Seek peace and prosperity in this city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So you want Taunton and the whole area to prosper. Now, it will prosper because you're here. You don't prosper because the town prospers. You can benefit from that, obviously. But God puts us as kingdom people in a place so that the place prospers, because we are here. So if this church shut down today, would your local authority turn around and say, man, we're going to miss those people? Would other people in the locality say, why is the church shut? Man, we need them. Where are we going to go now for this? Where are we going to go for that? Because the town needs to become dependent on us as the people of God. Why? Because we're front row people. We're not just to make up the numbers and everybody. We're here to shape, determine and influence what's going on. Okay. So as we read through this, let's just have a very, very quick thing for a moment. A builder. What does a builder do? If you're a builder, please just stick with me, because this might not be a perfect analogy. All right. There's a few steps. What does a builder do? If he wants to build something, first of all, he's going to have, you can either find you've got the ground, then you put a plan to it, or you've got a plan, then you want to find the ground to fit it. Let's start with a plan, because God always has a plan, and God is working to a plan. God never moves because there's a need. God only moves according to his word. Okay? God knew there were going to be needs before he created us, because he knew there was going to be need to be a plan of salvation. But he moves according to his word, okay? And according to his plans. So a builder, first of all, has a plan, okay? This is what I want to build. This is what I want to put into place. So a builder has plans. A holiday maker doesn't have plans. They make them up as they go along. So the last few days we've been away, we got up. What should we do today? Well, I don't know. Let's go to Lyme Regis. Let's walk about, chill out. Let's see what happens. We're on holiday. We don't need to make plans. There's no schedule. There's no be here at this time. We arrive when we arrive. We park when we park. We ate when we ate. We stood in the sun or sat in the sun when we sat. We played when we played. There was no, right, we're going to play mini golf at 1 o'clock. And I wasn't like rushing my family. Right, we've got to be at 1 o'clock, guys. Otherwise, we're going to be late for the mini golf. And they're like, so who cares? Who cares if we play mini golf at 1 or 1:30? We're on holiday. We don't, you know, it doesn't, who cares when we play mini golf? So somebody who's a builder is going to have plans. A holiday maker makes them up as they go along. Listen, to have plans, some people think is not spiritual. Some Christians think you just got to make it up as you go. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes it up as it goes along. That's being led by the Spirit. Oh no, no. God is the most planned person in the universe. The Bible is the most detailed plan of action that there is. And he had a plan before he even created us as to how that was going to outwork and what that was going to look like. The detail and how it matches up across the word from the Old to the New Testament and everything, how it all comes together. He has a plan. So having a plan is spiritual. A lot of the time, our not having a plan is actually not spiritual, because we just think, well, the Holy Spirit will just leave me. The Holy Spirit's like, I want to speak to you so that you know how to move forward, what steps to take. If you're not listening, how are you going to know how to go? Because God only works according to his word. What is his word? A word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So he wants to speak to you so you know this is the step. And when you know God has spoken to you, you can step confidently, because you know he said something. All right. So What does a builder do? He looks for the right ground. He looks for the right piece of ground. And because if he's going to build the thing, this design that he's got, this plan that he's got, he wants to find the right ground in which to build whatever he wants to build. What does a holidaymaker do? Holidaymaker is just looking for the perfect place to stay. They're not necessarily looking for the right bit of ground because they're not interested in building anything. They're on holiday. They just want to make it up as they go along. So actually, I'm just looking for the perfect place to stay for a couple of weeks, a nice chalet, nice tent, caravan, hotel, whatever it is. I just want the thing that will just do for my holiday, because on holiday, you're a consumer. When in your normal everyday life, you're a builder. Your life's got to go somewhere. You plan. On holiday, you're a consumer. You've saved all your money up, so your holiday is about having a great time, spending your money. You know, you normally go out and do things you don't normally do in your week in, week out life, because you've saved up a bit for it. And you've saved up a bit so that you can do some stuff and have a great time and not think, well, can we spend 50 quid on a meal instead of 30 quid tonight, because have we got it? You know, you think we're on holiday. We've saved it all up. Well, so let's just spend 50 quid because we're on holiday. Are you with me? So we're just looking for the perfect place. Now, then what does a builder do? He works. He digs. He starts to create the foundations. He begins to fill them. Why? Because he's going to establish something that's got to last for a long time. Amen. So a builder's about digging the right foundations, making sure that the right stuff is in their life, so that what God is going to grow and develop has got a great foundation. It's built on something solid. It's built on the rock. So that it's not built on something that when the storms come, it gets blown over, because we're not holidaymakers just doing something where, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm not really bothered. Well, I'm just going to have a great time anyway. And when a challenge comes or stuff comes, some people go on holiday, you can check out of life for 2 or 3 weeks. I'll deal with all of that, all the issues of life when I get home. But I'm now going on holiday. So what we do when we go on holidays, we just park our real life over here for 2 or 3 weeks. And that's not a problem with that, because we need to take some time to chill out, get refreshed and enjoy ourselves and have a great time. I'm not saying this is wrong in the sense of having a holiday, if you understand. I'm just using the analogy this morning. Is that okay? But when we go on holiday, what we do is we park our everyday life here. We make sure, hopefully, in work or other things, everything's sorted before we go away, so we don't leave certain things in a mess or whatever. But it's like, right, okay, I'm on holiday now, so I can just... And so, no responsibilities, free time, do whatever, have a great time. We're not trying to dig any foundations for life. We're not trying to put stuff into our lives. We're just checking out. But we can't live like that. You can do it for a holiday, but you can't live like that. Okay? What's another thing? Well, let's get on to some more specific things here for a moment. If we're going to be builders, it doesn't happen by accident. You've got to be intentional. So a builder has a plan. And if the thing is going to look, if the house or the structure is going to look the right thing, he's got to follow the plan. And it's not just the builder, the one guy in charge, that's got to follow the plan. Everybody involved has to know the plan. So if you've got some brickies on site, some chippies on site, and some decorators on site, and not that you don't have them all at the same time, but say they're all on the site at the same time, if they're all going to do what they're supposed to do, they need to know the plan. They need to know the steps of the plan, so they know when they're supposed to be there and when they're not, what they're supposed to be doing and when they don't. Why? Because they're all builders in one sense to help make this huge thing happen. But a painter doesn't do the brickwork. A plumber doesn't do the carpentry. Everybody's got skills and different abilities and different aspects for the whole plan to be fulfilled. And as everybody plays their part, the thing is what it's supposed to be at the end. And everybody looks at that. And the person who painted it doesn't just say, well, I painted that, it looks cool. Or the bricky doesn't say, well, I did the brickwork on that. Everybody stares and they say, man, we did, look at that, look what we've done together. Doesn't that look brilliant? Why? Because you're a builder. You're not a holidaymaker. Okay, let's have a look at a few other things then. What's a builder? A builder understands the future is determined by how he lives today. Okay, a builder in the kingdom, you and me, Well, you can work out for yourself where you are on some of these, okay? But a builder mentality, somebody with a building heart, you know, I'm planted, I'm rooted, I want to be part of this thing, see it move forward and really grow and develop according to God's word and God's purpose, understands the future is determined by how they live today. A holidaymaker just lives for the moment. What's the difference? A builder lives according to his will. A holidaymaker lives according to their emotions. Because when you're in your everyday life, there's sometimes where you just have to make choices and you don't feel like it, you don't want to do it. Sometimes work is brilliant, other times it's a challenge. You've got to pay bills. Nobody feels like paying bills, but you have to do them. So you put your will into action, I'm paying that bill. Or so, you know, why? So a builder lives according to the will. Why? Because the will is to do without working a plan. The will is to do with connecting to God's word, God's purpose, what he's saying into your life. On holiday, there is no plan, so you live by your emotions. What do we feel like doing today? That's what holiday is all about, isn't it? You get up in the morning, unless you've got a plan for that particular day where you might, well, let's go and visit that place today. But most of the time on holidays, what do we feel like doing? Oh, I don't really feel like going to the beach today. I just feel like chilling out here and resting and reading the book for a few hours. And I don't know, see what we feel like at lunchtime, have a bit of lunch and let's see if we feel like maybe we'll just go for a walk later on. Yeah, all right, let's see how we go. Because you live by how you're feeling and all of that. That's holidaymaker. But the guy over here, he's living according to purpose. He's living according to a plan. He's living according to the word that God has given or the words that God is speaking. So the decisions that a builder makes today determine what happens tomorrow. Yeah. We were asked a question a few years ago in our church by a visiting guy. He said, what do you want your town to be like in 2020? Because what your city or what your town is like in 2020 is determined by what you begin to do today. You can't say, well, in 10 years time, we'd like a town where, you know, where the crime rate has dropped and where it's much safer on the streets for our kids or where teenage pregnancy has gone down or marriage breakdown and the statistics have gone down. And we can't say by 2020, we want to see those things happen, but yet we don't do anything now in order to see that change over the next 10 or 12 years. And so what a builder's saying is if we're going to see our town look like this in 10, 12 years time, then there's something we've got to start doing today that begins to affect change. It begins to bring a different way of thinking and begins to influence things in a different way so that we see that change over the next few years so that by the time we get to 2020, our town is already a different place and isn't just a dream of what we would like. And when we get there, we wonder, well, I wonder why nothing's changed. Or in fact, everything's got worse. You see, in the church, we can't have a holiday mentality of it will all be all right in the end because God's in charge. Yes, he's in charge, but he's got a plan and he wants to work that plan out through you and me. His plan is outworking his word, his will on the earth. He is the master builder, the master planner. We are his workmen. We are his workmanship. You're created perfectly in him. How many of you know that God's never ever made a mistake? If you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, it says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, created to do good works that he has already appointed for us to do, then you're not a mistake here today. You're not a mistake even here being alive today. And if you know Jesus today, you are made in his image. You're created as his workmanship. He has not made a mistake because he's never made one. If he'd made a mistake, then he would not be God. So you're sitting here this morning as his workmanship and as a worker, a builder. He's the master builder, but we're all builders in different way, working with his plan. So understanding the future, understands the future is determined by how you live today. The choices you make today determine how you live tomorrow. You set your life up tomorrow by how you live today. How you go to bed at night determines how you're going to wake up in the morning. You want to prepare yourself for tomorrow by what you do today. Anyway, let's go on because we've got more things. Next one. A builder invests in relationships, in people, in family. A holiday maker doesn't invest in anything, he just spends. A builder invests because he's building something. He wants to get a return. If you're a builder and you're building a house, okay, or a number of houses, you're looking to make some money out of it. Is that right? A builder doesn't build a house and then put an advert in the paper. I've built 4 big detached luxury homes and I'm giving them away. Who'd like one? He's not on holiday. He's building a business. He's building something. So he's putting an investment into the ground in bricks and mortar. He might spend £300,000 building 4 houses or something, whatever they cost. But he might be looking to sell them all for £1.5 million and walk away with over £1 million in his pocket thinking, now that's an investment. I'm investing something to get a return. Because he's a builder. He's a business guy. He's looking to make some money. A holiday maker is not looking to invest in anything. He's looking to spend. So you go on holiday and you think, right, we're away for a couple of weeks. We've got 600 or 700 quid spending money. And you think, right, we've done this. We've done, how much have we got left? Oh, crumbs. We're halfway through already. We've only been here 2 days. Right, we better slow down a little bit. Or Mr. Flexible. Oh, it's all right. We can get Mr. Flexible out and he can pay for the rest of it. Because on holiday, it's spend, spend, spend. It's pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. It's emotion, emotion. It's let's have a great time. It's those days are over in the church where it's just give me a great time. You know, just make me feel good. Just pray for me one more time. Just give me another word so before I go out, because I just need another one before I feel I'm ready to do anything. And we can't live like that. Now the days are days where we're here to be builders of the kingdom, to be extenders of the kingdom, all right? So we're here to be planted. So a builder invests in people, in relationships, in family. And you can link that into the making disciples if you want. But just a builder invests to get a return. And sometimes when you're a builder, it's not the most exciting life. You go in, you build, now it's, you know, the frame of the house and now you're doing the bricks and then the plastering and then the floors and then it's not necessarily very exciting. On holiday, it's like, what should we do today? Well, let's go to that theme park today. Yeah, and you get freaked out on all the rides. You throw your lunch up everywhere. And for most people, I don't like that, but for most people, that's a great time. People come back and they say, oh, we went on this roller coaster. I threw up everywhere. And, oh, it was brilliant. And I'm like, I need to pray for you, mate, if you think throwing up's a great time. But anyway. But on holiday, it's all about having a great time. It's the next fun thing, the next whatever, isn't it? And on holiday, if everybody in your family, you're sitting around one day and you're like, what should we do? I don't know, what should we do? Well, I don't know, this is really boring, isn't it? We're on holiday, we're supposed to be having a great time and there's nothing to do, it's boring. That's not what holiday's about, is it? Sometimes being a builder can be a bit like, man, this is hard work. This is hard work. But what are you doing? You're investing. Sometimes discipling people, it's hard work. Sometimes spending time with people, it's hard work. See, being a builder isn't about preference. A builder can't look at his designs and say, well, I really like doing the brickwork, but I hate the plastering. So we're not going to bother plastering. We're just going to do the bricks, do the floor, not plaster anything on the inside, and we'll just leave it like that. And we'll just have to hang the pictures on the plasterboard without anything on it. I don't like the kitchen, but I like the bathroom. Let's stuff the kitchen. We'll just buy a little gas bottle and a stove, and that'll do. And it's a luxury 4-bed detached house. Nobody's going to mind because I don't really like doing the kitchen. I like I'll do the lounge with a big TV system and all. Yeah, let's make the lounge really cool. A builder can't have preferences. Sometimes you just got to put your will into action. Well, if that's what's involved, I'm going to give myself. How many of you know that when you begin to give yourself something, first of all, it can be a discipline, but then it becomes a desire. Yes. Yes. Sometimes things in life are just a discipline, and then as you do them, they become a desire. Reading the words like that sometimes. You know, I've heard people pray, you probably prayed it yourself. Father, give me a desire to read your word. Just give me a desire. Oh, I just long for more of a desire to read the Bible. I just wish I had more of a desire to read the Bible. Oh, Holy Spirit, give me a desire to read the Bible. And the Holy Spirit's saying, well, read it then. Just read the jolly thing. See, that's a holiday maker's prayer. Just give me a desire to read the Bible. Holy Spirit, just do this in me. And the Holy Spirit is saying, well, just read the Bible. Just start reading it and give me a chance to speak to you. Some people say, I can't hear God. My first question is, are you reading the Bible? If you're not reading the Bible, it's going to be hard to hear the Holy Spirit. Okay? So read the thing and that begins to give you opportunity for the Holy Spirit to just give you a bit of desire, work in you, stir something up in you. And then you find, actually, I want to read the Bible because it's speaking to me. God's doing something. Something's happening there. Is that okay? Okay, number three. There's been more than this, but anyway, the way I've listed it, which is not, anyway, this is about number 14. It's just the way I've done my notes. It's just my brain. There's a load of points, and then I think, oh, hang on, I better number those, but I've only numbered half of them. All right. Number three. Are you all right till tea time? Is that okay? What time do you finish normally? Whenever. All right, cool. All right, number three on my sheet. Number 13 on yours, maybe. A builder doesn't complain, but is always part of the solution and the answer. A builder doesn't complain, he is part of the answer and the solution. A holidaymaker complains if anything is not right. How many of you have been on holiday? You've arrived at your hotel room, or you've arrived at your mobile caravan, or your tent, or whatever it is you're staying in, and it's not what you expected. Has anybody had a holiday like that? As in, it's worse than you expected. Not, I booked 3-star and I got 5-star. Hallelujah. It's not what you're expecting in a bad way, right? So you roll up and you go into the hotel room and it's dirty, or some of the lights don't work, and this is just not good enough. So what do you do? You don't say, oh, well, never mind, I'll live with it. You think, hang on a minute, I've paid for this. There's a jolly light bulb not working. So I've paid for that, so I'm going to make sure they put another one in there. You know, so you go, you ring reception, excuse me, there's a light bulb. Oh, sorry, so we're coming back. Well, hurry up because it's dark in here, you know. Or the food's not up to scratch, or something isn't right. What do you do? You say, hey, I'm not happy with this. I've paid for it. And then you say, well, the pool's not very good and the weather's not very good. I came here to get a suntan and it's raining. And on holiday, if something's not how you want it, you moan and complain, and you don't you? Now, imagine a builder doing that. He's got a plan. He's building something. He's got all his guys working on it. And he's standing there all the time going, oh, you're rubbish at painting. I'm going to get somebody else. You don't even know how to cement the bricks together. Go on, get lost, you. You're an idiot. And all of that. If the guy was moaning, complaining, he'd get somebody would smack him one. We can't do that pastorally. In prayer, you have to deal with that sort of stuff. Holy Spirit, you smack him on. No, so. But a builder doesn't moan and complain. A builder's there, part of the answer. They're looking for solutions. They're looking for answers. They're looking to help make the thing happen. That even on a Sunday, they walk into the building and probably all of you would walk in here and say, this is not where we want to be. That's not moaning, complaining. That's saying we want to be somewhere further on than we are. But there's no point walking in here saying, oh, I don't like the curtains. I don't like the fact the band's on the stage. I don't like the floor. I don't like the chairs. They're blooming hard. You know, there's no point walking in and moaning about the place. That's not going to change anything. But if you come in saying, I'm a builder, if we create a great atmosphere, people aren't going to be bothered what color the curtains are at this moment, because we're on a journey. We're in this place, but we're moving towards somewhere else and all of that at some point. But while we're here, well, I'm not going to moan and complain. I'm going to actually help to be a solution person where we are as a church at the moment. See, that's a builder mentality. It's your will. It's not your emotion. Number four. Let's have a look. Number four. A builder understands they have a part to play in terms of faith and in terms of labor and in terms of love. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the first few verses there, 3, 4 and 5, Paul, as he's writing to the Thessalonians, he's encouraging them the work that is done by faith, the labor. Oh, let's just turn there because off the top of my head. These are really three key things here, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just before Timothy. Let's see what he says here. He says, always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continue to remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. So the work of God is to believe. So firstly, for us to believe, we've got to connect with what God is saying. We've got to connect with the word that God is speaking at any given point, okay? So if you've got hold of a word for yourself personally or as a church, then you've got something to work with, something to believe, okay? Your work that is produced by faith. Your labor prompted by love. So your faith comes from the word, but then your actions have got to be motivated with love. And then what does it say? And then your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What is hope in the Bible? Hope in the Bible is something certain that is on its way. So if you believe what God says, so it releases faith, your labor is then prompted by love. So what I'm going to do now is express through love, but I have a hope knowing that what God is saying is on his way. So while I'm working with faith and doing that with love, then God is going to do what he said he's going to do in my life and in somebody else's life. See, that's a builder. There's an endurance that comes because I'm here for the long term, the long haul. I'm not going to move when things get tough or somebody else does this, that or the other, or they decide to leave and go somewhere else. You can't go anywhere because of somebody else's decision, somebody else's attitude, somebody else's heart, somebody else's thinking. And that's where you've got to get before God and say, God, where are you planting me? Where are you rooting me? Where are you establishing me? Because I want to be part of the place where you want me to be. And that sometimes isn't easy. Because there are growth spurts, but there are also growth challenges. When a child is growing up, some kids have issues with their bones when they're growing. They're not quite growing fast enough for their body. And sometimes they need some medical help or some things to help the bones grow in a way that they're not. Because sometimes there are growth pains in life. Sometimes there are challenges. But if you dip out somewhere and go off somewhere else or check out whatever, it's like you're not dealing with an issue. It's going to come up 2 months, 3 months, 2 years, 3 years later, wherever you've gone to, because God works in our hearts and does things in our hearts all the time. That's the issue. It's the issue of the heart. And if our heart is submitted and surrendered to God, then he's got something to work with, okay? So number four, or number 14, whatever it might be. A builder understands they have a part to play. I'm a carrier of the vision. I'm a carrier of what's going on. On number four, for a holidaymaker, they don't want to work, they're on holiday. I'm not here to work. I'm here just to enjoy myself. Churches, yeah, we can have a great time as a church, as a people. Yeah, I don't just mean Sundays, but all of that. But on holiday, you're not there to work. You're there to consume. That's what you do. You're there to spend, not invest. You're there to have a great time. And so a builder understands he's there to work, carry the vision and be part of the answer and the solution. And a holiday maker is there not to work. He's there on holiday. Number five. This is a good one. Number five here. A builder understands that a whole number of lives need to be affected and changed as a result of their life. Yes. Yes. Or if you like, a series of lives have been changed and affected because of their life, because they're there for the long term. They're looking for God to work in other people's lives. They're investing in others. They're making disciples. And therefore, it says here that a series of lives are affected and changed. A holiday maker, he just has a series of memories. So when you come back from your holiday, you can't live in the good of your holiday any longer. It's now a series of memories. Why do you take photographs to help visualize the memories more clearly? So we've all done it. We've all been on holiday. You come back and people say, oh, what'd you do on holiday? Oh, we had a great time. It was brilliant. We went to this thing. We did that. We did the other. We did that. And, you know, we had a great time. And it's just memories. And I show a few pictures and everything. But it's gone. It's finished. You've spent it. You've spent the time. You've spent the money. It's now gone. You don't live in the good of that anymore. You can only live in the good of a memory. But a builder lives in the good of what is happening today, because they're building their life around the long term, the long haul. Therefore, a builder lives in the good of what he has invested. See, if you invest a bit of money today, you live in the good of it tomorrow. If you spend all your money today, you've got nothing to live in the good of, because you've not invested anything. You spent it. Now, you might have invested to spend, but if you're wise, you're going to invest so that you can spend a bit, but you continue investing because you're living in the good of what you are investing. Sometimes to invest, you have to deny. some of the, oh, I want to feel good, or I just want to spend this or spend that. Sometimes you have to discipline yourself and say, well, we've just got to invest this because we know in 10 years, 20 years, we've got to pay the mortgage off. We can't just spend it on holiday every year. And in 20 years' time, Mr. Nationwide turns up and says, hey, you owe me 90 grand for your mortgage. And you'll say, well, I've spent it on 15 holidays in the last 15 years, bought a couple of cars and a nice boat that's down in the harbour somewhere. And he says, well, sell it all because I want my 90,000. So we're not here to live for the moment. We're here to invest. How many of you know that when you invest, your investments can multiply? See, God wants us to live in the good, in the fruit of what's happening. When we did the end of our garden and all these things that are growing now, you know, some of it we're already giving stuff away. We've got so much jolly, what's the stuff? We've got so much spinach, it's like, you know. And so we're in bags, you can have it, you can have it, you can have it. You know, it's like, great. But we're also living off it as well. But it's enough to, well, you can have some, you can have some. So you live in the good of it, but other people live in the good of what you're sowing, what you're investing, what you're planting, okay? Let's carry on for a minute. No, a couple more, is that right? Next one, a builder lives for purpose, a holidaymaker lives for pleasure. A builder lives for purpose, a holidaymaker lives for pleasure. See, God will speak to you because he has a purpose in mind for your life. See, God doesn't just want to give you a word that you live with. I'm blessed. Brilliant. Oh, hallelujah. I'm blessed. He wants to give you a word that you live by, that affects your life, that doesn't just make you feel good, but you actually then put into action, into operation. So God, a builder works according to purpose. A holidaymaker lives according to pleasure. We can have a great time. Absolutely. But let's have a great time, but connect it into the purpose of what God's doing. Not just checking out to have a good time in that sense. So we're as builders, okay? And you can look at the Great Commission if you want for that one. Or in Matthew 4:19, Jesus says to the disciples, come follow me. So he says, come follow me. What does he say? And I will make you fishers of men. He's got a purpose in mind. He says to these guys, hey, come follow me and I'm going to make you. There's purpose, there's purpose, there's purpose. You're going to be fruitful, you're going to see stuff happen through your life. He didn't just say, come follow me. If he just said, come follow me, the disciples would have been holiday makers. Because Jesus would have said, come follow me and watch everything that I do, just follow me. And after 3 years, if Jesus had left, then they'd have just said, well, he just said, follow me. He didn't say, do anything. He just said, follow me. And all we did was watch him. We watched him preach. We watched him do miracles. We watched him raise the dead. It was brilliant. We had a great time. We had a good time. But we haven't got a clue how to do all of that. But what Jesus said, he said, no, come follow me, but I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you into a builder. I'm going to make you fruitful. You're going to make disciples. You're going to be a builder of the kingdom. You're going to see stuff happen through your life. So he sent them out two by two. He dropped them in it, didn't he? He said, you preach here. You lay hands on there. You do this. You do that. It's like, we didn't know we signed up for this. And God goes, exactly. But actually, at the end of the day, they loved it. Yeah. It challenged them to the core. Peter was the most challenging out of all of them, wasn't he? But yet he was one of the key leaders in the church when it began, and he's the one that stood up the day of Pentecost, preached, and thousands got saved and baptized that day. But he kept butting in Jesus all the time, all the time. But yet Jesus had a plan and a purpose. Look, Pete, it doesn't matter. I'm still gonna make you into what I've called you to be. So just stick with me, stick with me, stick with me. Come on. There's a bigger purpose in mind. It wasn't just to pray for a few and heal a few. They ended up being the leaders, the apostles of what began as the modern day church. Okay, last one. Is that okay? We've got time just for one more. A builder builds a home, a place to live in, a dwelling place, a home. A holidaymaker just visits. A holidaymaker doesn't define any environment, any atmosphere. He's there just to consume. Goes to the hotel, it better be what I want it to be. Goes to an apartment or it better be what I've paid for. Because they're just visiting. But a builder is thinking, I want to build a great place to live in. I want to create a great environment. I want to create a place when people come into it, they're like, man, I'd love to live here. Man, I'd love to own that kind of place. Or when they come into that home, they're like, man, I love going round there. Because when I'm round there, in that person's house, the house is brilliant, but the atmosphere is great, and I just feel really welcome. I always feel encouraged. I feel like I belong, even though I don't really know them that well. It's like, what a great place to be. I feel encouraged. I feel accepted. You know, it's the only place I've been to when somebody doesn't check me out and mark me out of 10 as to how I'm doing as a Christian. Or if an unsaved person comes into your home, what's the first thing they pick up from you? Are you on them straight away? You know Jesus yet? What's wrong with your life? You're there. You smoke. You're there. And all of that. Who gives a rip whether they smoke? I think some stuff we just need to leave to God to sort out in people's lives before they're even saved. They don't know anything else. People that don't know God, it's like we're not trying to match them up with how this. We're not trying to create what a builder does creates a great environment for people to be in. Great atmosphere, great place to be, a great home. So whether it's here on a Sunday, at the moment for you, when you meet on a Sunday, this is your home. Yes. You might think, well, it's not exactly what we want to do. Well, when you get your own building, do what you like with it and make it, you know. But the most important thing is you make it a home. Yes. All of the stuff around, that can help, absolutely. But you can't depend on that. You can't sit in here and say, if we had a fantastic building, loads more people would be coming. That's a lie. Yeah. You're the one that carries the life. You're the one that's contagious. You're the one that has this infection called Jesus Christ. You're the one that has the life. It's not the walls or the curtains or the decor. I mean, that can express something, but the life of who we are is a little bit more powerful than the building. And so a builder creates a great environment, a great atmosphere, a place that where people are welcome. When people come to your house, and they come around for a meal. Say they're coming at 7:30 in the evening, and you're getting everything ready. You don't just think at 7:15, what are we going to cook? Okay, we've got 15 minutes till Jim and Eileen or whatever, Irene or whatever. But you don't think at 7:15, right, hang on, we've got some friends coming around for dinner, what should we cook? Oh, let's do a really nice meal. Well, we've got about 12 minutes before they arrive. Right, pizza and chips in the oven, they're going to love it. You know, and then you're not kind of, oh, well, it's nearly 7:30, I'll just go and get ready, just go, you know. And then, you know, they arrive at 7:30 or whatever, and you're still upstairs doing your teeth or sorting out, hoovering around, and they're, you know, ding, 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 and they're, you know, 7:40, they're still standing there. Are they in? Are they not in? And you're like, oh, yeah, we're still getting ready. If you've got friends coming around, what do? You think, right, tomorrow night they're coming round. What do we do for a meal? Okay, we need to go shopping. We need to buy some stuff. We need to get some things ready. We need to make sure. What time are you going to be home from work? Oh, I'll be home at this time. Great. We need to, or whatever. But you think ahead a little bit and you plan a bit. You think, what kind of atmosphere do we want to have? You know, who are the people coming round and what do we want to do? Are we going to hang out when? So, you know what your kids are like. They, you know, you've got friends coming. They're looking from 7:10, even though they're coming at 7:30. Are they coming yet? Are they coming yet? You're like, yeah, we've got 20 minutes. And they're looking out the window. They're expecting. And a car drives past. They're here. Oh, no, they're not. Somebody else was. And you're like, oh, shut up. Just, you know, to you. No, you don't say that to your kids. But anyway, you know, it's like, oh, we're not ready yet. And, you know, still 20 minutes to go. But you do all this stuff. And then a few minutes before 7:30, you start looking out the window. Are they here? They're here. Because you want to make sure when they pull into your driveway or they walk up your driveway, you're ready to open the door for them and you go out to them and say, hi, how you doing? You don't even let them ring the doorbell. You don't let them get that far. Well, you shouldn't anyway. You know, you don't let them get that far because you're already opening the door. You're going out to greet them. If it's raining, forget it. Leave them. Let them get wet. No, take a brolly out or something. But you greet them, you welcome them. When they come in, you say, hey, great to see you. You welcome them. Do you want a drink? And you host them. You look after them. You go with them. They don't walk into your hallway and say, well, you go in the lounge. I'll be in the kitchen cooking. I'll see you in about 20 minutes. And then you don't leave them. You're with them. You talk with them. You get them a drink. You host them. You create a great atmosphere. That's what we need to be like on a Sunday. Everybody, not just the host team or the greeting team. There's no such thing as a rota. You don't find rotas in here. You know, who's on the welcome team this morning? Well, those four are. I don't have to do it this week. I can just turn up at just about 10:30. Squeeze in there just as the music finishes. Then I won't have to talk to anybody. So I can just sit at the back because I'm a back row person, not a front row person. And I can sit there and join in. As soon as it's finished, I can go because I don't really want to connect with people. That's a holiday maker. But a builder is somebody that's like, the meeting starts at 10:30. I want to be there at 10 o'clock. Even if nobody else is, I'm going to be there because I want to create a great environment, a great home. I want to create a great welcome. So you turn up at 10 o'clock and the host team said, what are you doing here? You don't have to be here this early. And you're like, I'm here because I am part of the host team because I'm part of the church. I am part of creating a great atmosphere because I'm part of the church. I'm here to define a great environment because I'm part of the church. So imagine what it'd be like if everybody was here at 10 o'clock. It'd be brilliant. Because there'd be a buzz, there'd be, oh, how you doing? You know, you'd bring people with you because, oh, it's a great place to be, I don't know. And then you'd be like, oh, hurry up, we want the meeting to start because it's 20 past. Come on, why don't we just get going? Because everybody's already here. Are you there? So a builder or a holiday maker? Now, I'm not saying you know, don't say, oh, he's telling me I'm a holiday maker. I want to be a builder. We've just gone through loads of different points this morning, okay? And you decide some of these things where some of you are thinking this morning, right, for that one, I'm a holiday maker, but for that one, I'm a builder. For that one, yeah, man, I've got a holiday mentality there. Actually, I'm quite encouraged. I'm a bit of a builder there. Wow, brilliant. But what we want to do is I want to be a builder, just full stop. Yeah. You see, there's a lot of practical stuff in here. The way we think, and it's not necessarily a feel-good word where you walk away feeling like $1 million and Jesus loves me, the leadership love me, and this is the best church in the world. You know, sometimes we just got to, what's the reality of being in church? What's the reality of being part of the church? What does it look like? What does it really mean? Because we're here not just to feel good, not to have another talk, another message, another revelation, another good thing. It's like, come on, let's be workers for the kingdom. Let's get to grips with the reality of what it really means to be part of a body, part of a church. The good and the bad, the tough and the easy part of it. You know, when you get married and you stand before your husband or wife on that day and with your family and friends around and before God, you make a covenant. You say some vows for better, for worse, for rich, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And you talk about all these things because you're saying, I'm putting my will into action now to build a great marriage. Because it's like, you say, will you take this person to be? You say, I will. It doesn't say, do you feel like taking her to be your wife? Or feel like taking him? Well, today I really feel like it, yeah. But in four years' time, I don't feel like it at all. She's a right old bag. I didn't realise she was like she was. I can't stand her now. On that day, you said, I'm putting my will into action, and that will isn't to change the other person. It's saying, I'm buying into this, making covenant, because I want to build that person, encourage them, strengthen them, for them to be everything that God wants them to be. That's what it means to be part of the church. You covenant. When you become part of a church, you get planted and rooted, but you're making covenant with the people. You're not just saying, well, it's getting hard, I'm going off to another one down the road, or I've had enough and all of that. Come on, let's grow up a bit. Let's get some spiritual maturity, into our lives. We're talking about church this morning. We're not just talking about having a nice feeling, having a nice emotion. It's like, come on. There's thousands of people out there that have got no idea about Jesus. And we just need to just leave some of our little holiday things alone over there. And say, right, I'm here to build the kingdom. I'm here to work and to take care of other people, what God is doing and what he's putting into our hands to carry, to be responsible for, and all of that. Amen. Let's stand up, shall we?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.